Good morning, everybody. I just want to say one thing before I tell you a little bit about myself. I've been here 2.5 years now, and I see people, and I just want you to know that I see the finished work in all of you, because that's how God made me, and I love that He made me that way. So I see the calls in your life, and I appreciate each and every one of you, even if you don't know me very well. And I hope this is a chance for us to get a little better acquainted. So I'm just going to tell you this. I was born in Rochelle to a 17-year-old mother who knew she was giving me up for adoption. And when the nurse that was on duty, when I was delivered, she accidentally handed me to her. And my mom was prepared to give me up. And then when she saw me, I became a reality. And she held on to me and sobbed. And because the nurse did not know that I was being given up for adoption. So I know that was a painful moment in her life. But then 4 days later, I was at a courthouse in the arms of a large burly man with a cigar hanging out of his mouth. And my parents arrived and signed papers. And I was handed over with a diaper bag. And my dad took me. They got in the back seat of my grandmother's 1969 Chevy olive green Impala, which was the first car I ever drove, by the way. It was my first car. It was like two big couches, you know, and a steering wheel. Anybody remember those cars? Okay. I had two sisters by my side, 7 and 9. They were biological to my adoptive parents' family. My mom and dad always wanted one more girl, and that's what they got. You know, I'm sure they would have liked the boy too. But my grandmother lived with us. I called her Granny. And she had a beauty shop in our home. And so I didn't have just one grandmother. I had like 30. You know, I could go in there anytime and get spoiled. I love that. But when they brought me home, my father was sitting in the back of the car, and I was crying uncontrollably. So they pulled up to Felker's Pharmacy in Mount Morris, and my dad went in to get me formula. Well, the ladies there, you know, everybody knows everyone in a small town. So why are you buying baby formula? You don't have a baby. Your wife's not pregnant. So he had to like point at the car. My mom was sitting up front driving. Meanwhile, the chief of police pulls up. My grandmother's in the front seat. My mom's in the driving seat, but she's holding me at this point. There weren't car seats back then. And the chief of police is like, "Oh, you have a new baby?" And my dad comes back out and he says, "Why are you letting your wife drive right after she gave birth?" He was mad. So they had to explain that I was adopted. They wanted to keep it quiet until, you know, I came into fruition and was really there. So that's like faith, right? Because you are hoping in all things and waiting, and that dream came true for them, that, you know, that they had in their hearts was, I don't know if it was everything they wanted when they got me, but here I am, right? So I grew up with this great family. My dad's from Riga, Latvia, and he came over when he was 20 and then served in the war, the Korean War. 6 months after he became a citizen, he got drafted. So he learned English through reading the Bible and slang that his friends told him. So I don't know how that got all mixed up, but it must have been fun listening to him talk back then. But so, you know, I had a typical fun childhood in Mount Morris. I came to know this boy named Scott Koblenz, and he was my best friend through high school and still is one of my dearest friends. And his friend Pam, they invited me to a Baptist Bible school thing in the summer, and it was for teenagers. So I was like, sure, I'll go. Well, they took us down by the river one night, and these 20-year-old evangelist boys were really cute, told us all about Jesus. So I was really paying attention. I was 14. I'm like, he's cute. And so anyways, they told us how to ask the Lord into our lives and into our hearts. And I was serious about that. So I did that. And then Scott and I have walked a long time together, but I've walked away and come back. And I told my parents after that, because I didn't really have anyone to disciple me at home. We went to the Methodist church sometimes, you know, and my sister and I would go and play tic-tac-toe while it was going on. And I'd go to the youth group, but I really didn't know God was alive till that moment, till I asked him into my heart, like, oh my gosh, this is a living God, you know, this is real, you know. And I'm not putting the Methodist church down. I was probably just not listening, you know. I mean, you're a kid, you're different stages. Everybody's different. I told my mother I was going to become a youth pastor, and she said, you're not preaching in this house. You're not preaching to me. And those words really, really hurt. I can't say, you know, it shut me down. And so then I kind of went astray till I was in my 20s, and I was living in Kansas City and with my first husband. By the way, I've been married 3 times. I'm not ashamed to tell you that, because I have 21 years of marriage experience. I like to say that instead of divorce 3 times. My mom was my cake decorator for the first 2. She didn't really want to do the 3rd one. But anyways, she didn't want to come to the wedding, but we got her there. She likes Mike. It's all good. And we've had a lot of healing over the years, because she's a very stern lady, very black and white. And here she has this really joyful, giggly girl that it just doesn't want to work as hard as her 2 sisters. Just don't want to follow in their footsteps. You know, whatever. But anyway, so then I met Mike James, the IT guy back there, and he asked me to prom. And during that time, I had a mohawk and wore a pink dress. So it was the 80s. You know, I was kind of, you know, I wasn't a drinker or I didn't do drugs. I just was different. I didn't want to be like everybody else. I didn't care how you looked. I was going to go to Salvation Army and cut up my clothes and wear them, you know, the way I wanted to. And I was going to have purple hair if I wanted, and that's how I was, you know. And I didn't care if you made fun of me for it, or you know, I had one boy said, you walk like you're lost. I'm like, well, I've been found. I got Jesus, you know. So anyways, so Mike and I went to prom, and it was the worst date ever, because we had a couple making out in the back seat the whole time, and it was really awkward, and we barely spoke. So we didn't reconnect for 30 years. But God is so good. So I went through 2 very painful divorces. And my kids did too. I have 3 daughters. But you know what? My verse was, God heals all. And I stood on that. I just stood on that. I know I'm kind of going all over the place. Let's see. Flash forward. I'm married. I have a new baby. Her name's Josie, Jocelyn. And I was in Kansas City. I'll go back to that point. And I went to a Baptist church, and I felt the presence of the Lord for the first time in this woman's Bible study. I just felt him gently on my shoulders. I didn't even know you could feel God. And I went to start going to church there, and I thought something was wrong with me, because I thought I had a crush on the pastor. I mean, I was like, this is not right. But what I realized over time was that it was the Jesus in him that I was drawn to. I wanted to love the Lord like he loved the Lord. He was amazing. And what he exuded was such joy and trust. And I wanted that for myself. Well, we eventually moved back from Kansas City to Mount Morris, Oregon area, because my ex-husband wanted to be around family raising our daughter. We had drifted apart, and I didn't understand why, and I went to a very deep depression. So deep that I walked out in front of a truck one day, and I saw my daughter's face come at me so large that I jumped back. And that's how close I was to giving my life over to the enemy, to the devil. He's alive, let me tell you. But I glorify God. I don't make a big deal about what he does, because he's bound and gagged. He can't touch the anointed ones of the Lord. He can try to oppress you. He can try to pull you down. But let me tell you, when it comes down to it, you just keep your eyes on him, because he's going to see you through it all. He's going to anchor you. He's going to pull off that oppression. And when you praise him, all those garments of praise that he puts upon you will take that burden of heaviness, and they will make you light as a feather. And that's why I giggle, and I don't care if you make fun of me for it. That's why I have joy, because I'm healed. My emotions are healed from two divorces, from being adopted. I've been abandoned, but I've been adopted again by Christ, because he chose me. He chose you. We didn't just go, okay, God, I'm going to serve you today. No. He called you by name in your mother's womb. He did. He knows who you are, each and every one of you. So I was very depressed, had a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear. Ended up pregnant with a second child in a bad marriage. I had had an affair, wasn't sure who the father was. I was sitting in a doctor's office. Now, this is getting real. I mean, I don't like to tell this because it's kind of embarrassing. But like I said, I'm healed. So I have nothing to be ashamed of, because he took my sin, right? We're all people. We're all human. We're all walking it out together. I went into this doctor's office, and I'm sitting there, and I'm in turmoil, and I'm like 6 months pregnant with my second daughter. And I'm like, Lord, I have been a mess. I was drinking and partying, and then I got pregnant, and he knew that would bring me back to my senses. He knew the circumstances. He knew that I would take care of my body for a baby, but I wouldn't take care of myself for myself. So here I was. I stopped everything. Stopped drinking, stopped smoking cigarettes, stopped everything. I mean, I've been back and forth with the Lord, you know. It's been a process for me. I haven't been Mike. He's walked all his life since he was six, and I just love that about him. It just inspires me, but not me. I've gone around the mountain, up the mountain. I was telling Steve in the parking lot that sometimes, you know, there's an arrow saying go this way, and I'm standing by the arrow and going, which way? What? Do I go around the mountain? Do I climb? What's this arrow mean? I don't get it. So, you know, and it's saying go up. And I'm like, really? I want to dig a trench first and maybe, you know, walk around this. You know, I need some exercise. But so I'm a little hard-headed is what I'm saying and all that. But anyway, so here I am. All this fear, anxiety, and depression. And I'm sitting in this doctor's office, and I'm waiting for my ultrasound. And I hear the Lord speak to me in that inner voice. And I hear him say, it's a girl, and it's Jeff's, my first husband's. And I'm like, Lord, if that's you speaking to me, let her look like him. Show me, you know? So then I had the ultrasound. Guess what? It's a girl. She came out. My other two daughters look a lot like me. If you've seen them, that middle one, she's 5'10 and a size 2, and is blonde, looks like Barbie, blue eyes. She looks like her dad. She just looks like her. All her features are her daddy's. And she used to go, why don't I look like you? I'm like, because God made you the way he wanted to, and he let me put some input on it, you know? So, I mean, that was a blessing. And we did stay together for 6 years after that, but there was too much damage. And I own up that some of the damage was mine. But I came back to the Lord 6 weeks later after I had given birth to her. We were throwing a party, and I couldn't drink. I couldn't do anything. My friend Scott, now back to Scott Koblenz, who was my childhood friend, had come back into my life again, and he had newly found the Lord again himself. And he was telling me that he had this girlfriend that was just full of the Lord, and she loved God. And we all knew her as kids. Her name's Laura Taft. She was just a childhood friend that we all had. And I'm like, well, that's all nice for you. That's good. That's, you know, good for you. He was trying to tell me, and I wouldn't listen. He showed up to that party. He didn't drink. He sat by me. I couldn't drink. I was just weirdly intense that whole night. I just could not. I couldn't think straight. And then I went and got my baby. She was at my mother-in-law's, and I got my older child, and I just could not party. I was like, not, mm-mm. Something happened. It was God. So that next day, he calls me. He goes, can I come by with Laura? I know you haven't seen her in about 15 years. You know, can I come by with her? Little did I know God had spoken to them and said, go. She's depressed. She's suicidal. She's fearful. Go. She came over and said, you can either. She told me her story, and it was very similar to mine. She had had an affair in her marriage. She had messed up. Her marriage was bad. Her husband did some things to her that no woman should live through. she came to me and said, you can either go on the path that you have, you want, or you can go on the path that God has and all that he has for you. Just try it. Just try it. And before she left, and I hadn't slept hardly a wink that night before, I was a mess. She goes, can I pray with you? And I'm like, I guess, you know, it's kind of weird. But go ahead. So she prayed with me. I don't remember what she prayed, but for the next 2 weeks, every time anxiety, fear, and panic, they were like bullies. They would come and beat me up, and I would feel so shaken and so unnerved that every time those things came to me, I would go off in the bathroom, and my ex-husband probably thought I was crazy, but I don't care. I was learning deliverance. That's what I was doing. I was going in the bathroom, and I was saying, God, if you are real, show me. Devil, you can't have me anymore. That was the Holy Spirit within me from that little girl that was 14 that had asked the Lord into her life and meant it. He will not lose you. He will not let you go. He will never let you go. 2 weeks later, about to the day, I was in the bathroom. Sometimes I'd yell it. You can't have me anymore, devil. You cannot have me. Lord, if you're real, you've got to show me now. If you've got a better way, you've got to show me now. I'm desperate. I'm desperate. I need to be a mom to these kids. I need to be a wife. I just need sanity. And I had the worst night of my life. And I called anybody I knew that was a Christian. I called my friend Scott's mom. I'm like, hey, will you talk to me for a while? I didn't tell him exactly what was going on, but I was so panicked that I couldn't get up out of a chair. I had my baby in my arms. I had my three-year-old sitting on the couch watching cartoons. I had a cordless phone. I could not get out of that chair. My ex-husband came home early. He walked with me literally he held on to me walking. That sounds insane, but he held on to me walking. I had to have his hand on my stomach. I had to have the baby in my arms. Everybody had to be in the bed that night. It was terrifying. I saw a spirit of fear. I saw it in my house. I kept saying, Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours. And the next morning I woke up and I was completely set free. And to this day I've been set free from those bullies. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now I have gone down many different paths, up, down, over. I've been allowed in women's ministry. I've been allowed to sing and pray, and I've been allowed to preach to people over the years, and I've even fell out and rebelled after my second divorce. I went the way of the world, but I always said, God, you're with me. You know, you're big enough to handle me. And then Mike and I re-met up, and God gave me a blessing of a man who prays with me and also understands the deliverance of the Lord. And so when I say, can I pray for you? I mean it, because I know God, what God can do, and I know how to get that enemy off of you. So thank you for listening to my testimony today and having me up here. And I'm just praise God for all of you.
Thank you, Lisa. We all have a story to tell. And the scarlet thread through all of those stories is that Jesus delivers. And that's what these testimonies are all about, is just to give glory to Him for what He's doing in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
A lot of good wisdom being shared as we share our testimonies. There's a pothole there. Don't hit it. If you're young, you know, let me tell you how to get around that. I drove right into it. You don't have to. As this wisdom is shared, how beautiful it is that we keep passing on the good news of Jesus Christ. So glad I came to church today. Thank you for sharing. And let's pray, and then we're going to sing. Is it I Am as we close? In the middle of the storm, I Am holds on to you. In the middle of the storm. Lord Jesus, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives. That you have a grip on us that cannot be broken. We thank you, Lord, that we can come together and just celebrate your presence in our lives, that you are with us, that we do not need to be dismayed, for you are our God, and you will give us everything that we need to make it. We thank you, Lord, that you do not spare us from hard, difficult things in life. For these things, Lord, have served to bring us to our knees. And we have seen the clouds part and realization come that you are with us and you are seeking to deliver us and bring help and healing in every area of our life. And Lord, we do praise you for the millions upon billions of stories, testimonies of you walking us through the most difficult chapters of our life and bringing salvation through the shed blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. We say yes to you, Lord. Yes to your salvation and yes to your lordship in our lives. We acknowledge who we are and who you are. We are in great need and you are our Savior and Lord. Thank you, Lord. We acknowledge no matter what's going on in our lives, you're with us and you are enough. In the face of our questions, in the face of our fears, in the face of the wind and the waves, you are enough. And we rest and find peace, knowing that you have it. And we are yours in Jesus' name. Amen.
I am holding on to you. That his love can't reach. There's no place where we can't find peace. There's no end to amazing grace. With your arms spread wide, take me in like an orphan child. Never let go, never leave my side. unto you. I am holding on to you. In the middle of the storm, I am holding on. I am.